Welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook, and this is episode number 456. Isn't that nice? 456. And I am joined by the ever-present at the moment, Christopher Hyde. Hi, Christopher Hyde.
This will only work for video, but I did like your hand actions
Ken Rogers, was it? Ken Rogers?
Yeah. I'm with you now.
God, I bet he's good in bed. Adam Carroll, hello, mate. All right. Wow.
Yeah, I'm good. It's great to come back on this podcast. I don't know who that Rogers man is, but I'm sure he's all right.
He's all right. I tell you what, I know a guy who is way better than all right. He's all right. And that's Christopher White. Hello, Chris.
Hello. Did Kenny Rogers sing The Gambler?
No.
Isn't that Kenny?
No. Oh, I don't know now.
No. What Rogers did we say? Was it Kenny Rogers?
I said Ken Rogers.
Ken Rogers. Gambler's a serious tune. It's a serious tune.
Yeah, it's definitely
I'm
Ken
good,
Rogers.
Mate.
Yeah, you're good. Okay.
Singing some cool. Kenny Rogers, but.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Let it all out, mate. Well.
Ted Rogers.
Ted Rogers was the 3-2-1 guy. Well.
Dusty Bin.
I think that's it. Well, Dusty Bin is definitely the early contender for podcast title. It's not very phallic, but let's not worry too much about that sort of stuff right now. Everyone good? Everyone's...
Yes.
I am better than I have been.
Well, aren't
really?
We all? Yeah.
Going to chat about it?
No, not here. Nah. Let's talk about some video games instead.
That's a lie. I'm very happy because I've played some bangers.
Have you?
I certainly have. I've got a tale or two, I can tell.
Okay.
Hey.
Is it about assassins?
Yeah.
Or is it about Rising?
It's about Summits Rising. I just need to queue it up. Talk about this game.
Oh, really? Tales of Arise is the game, and you've played it twice now. The first time was much more constricted, kind of.
Yeah, it was a very small snippet. It's like a 20-minute gameplay loop, but I could play it as much as I wanted.
Was it a streaming build as well? Like, I can't remember.
They were both.
Fair enough. But this one was a much more substantial.
This one was from the start. Game.
Okay.
So I'll just jump in, shall I?
Yeah, mate. Absolutely.
Yeah. So unlike the other one where I played a little bit of walking around, a bit of combat as all the different characters, this one was solely focused on the two main protagonists, and their names are Alphen and Xion.
From the video, it looks a bit like Shlon, because I can't quite see the eye. It looks like Shlon.
Shlong. Mm. So you start. He is basically the first character you start as, and he's called Iron Mask because he's got a mask and it's made of iron.
Ooh.
And you don't know why, but they're basically been imprisoned by this. And this is another name, which is great, because every time I say it, I think of something else. And he's basically like an evil lord called Balsef. It sounds like Balsack.
Yep. Yeah.
Balsack.
Yeah. Straight away, I knew exactly. Yep.
So anyway, he is watching over this land, and there are all these kind of prisoners, slaves, and it's based on like the oppression of the people of Darna. There's so many names that I've not even got them on screen, guys.
Doing great, mate. You're doing great.
Thank you.
Just that good.
And there's this technologically advanced city in the sky called Rana. And basically, you are trying to break free of this prison and take down these lords. So you start from this place originally is called Calaglia. And it's all kind of like fire and brimstone. good, isn't it? It's basically like hell. That's what it looks like. And I think that's the kind of intention. And you have to kind of break free and you start your journey as this guy called Iron Mask, who by the end of the preview, his mask is broken and he is revealed to be this bloke called Alphen. And along the way, you meet this girl called Shlong.
Lean into the Shlong. Shlong.
And she is actually...
Does Shlong ever meet Balsack?
She battles with Balsack.
Bandai Namco are watching this and going, I'm really pleased that we let him play that game. so that they could sit around and take the piss out of it.
It makes me want to play it. That's all I'll say.
I will say, just looking at the footage, it does look very, very
good. This game is incredible. It it looks amazing. Like, and not just like the gameplay and the kind of environment you walk around in, but there's like anime cutscenes that are really, really good. Like you kind of get in some games, they have like some anime cutscenes and they're quite shoddy or not as well produced, but this is like crisp, like it looks really good. And then you've got the actual combat, and this is where this game, like I thought Scarlet Nexus was great, and I still do, it's like one of the best games of the year, but this has a lot of potential to kind of surpass it just by how they're really kind of using the arts to really kind of take it up and over like the previous games. Like Berseria was quite combat heavy, but this just kind of feels a lot more free and a lot more hack and slash with strategy. Like there's a lot to it. Like you've got arts for when, and if people that don't know what Tales of series is, an art is like a special ability, like a power, and you've got certain arts that you can use on the ground and certain arts you can use in the air. You can call in your party members to kind of aid you in battle by a simple click of the D-pad, depending on which one's which. You've also got like super abilities that are like special abilities for your character. You'd also initiate this kind of double team move, which is also amazing.
Jesus Christ, Schlong, double team.
So all these kind of abilities play out in like kind of a choreographed thing of wonder. And like, there's a lot of kind of fights with like standard boars and pigs and monsters and whatnot. And then you fight this Lord Balsef at the end. And like the battles, it was great. Like you've all the stuff you've learned up until that point, which I can't remember how long I played it for, but it's a good 5 or 6 hours. So you have learned a fair amount, and then you fight him, you're kind of using everything you've got, and then all of a sudden this huge fire, like this huge manifestation of astral energy appears behind him, like this gigantic fire monster, and he tries to get involved, he wants a bit. So you kind of have to take him out as well as this lord. And like, it just feels so good to play.
I wanted to say like, because, you know, we've had a laugh, we've had a joke and all that. But I will say, like, I've always struggled with the Tales series. Like, I know Adam Carroll, like, you're a big fan. Chris Hyde, I think you are too, aren't you?
Yeah,
I've always struggled to get into them, right? And it's never been how it looks. It's never been how it sounds. It's always been the combat for me. Like, I could never get into those RPGs where you kind of... I'm trying to think of... I mean, they would be... Tales, the older Tales games would be the definition of this, where you're kind of... You're in a circle, but like an invisible circle, aren't you? You can't run away from that battle. It's kind of... You can't see it, but there's the battle's area. And you kind of... It's not turn-based, but it also...
Kind of free kind run around of, the
like,
place.
Nino Kuni did it, actually, as well. And that was the first time I played a game, and I was like, oh, okay, I get it. But so I've tried with Tales, like I've tried with Tales many, many a time. But everything I see about this one, and the, you know, obviously I've read Chris's previews and seen the video stuff we've done. Everything he's explained about the combat, it almost sounds like what they've done is taken Tales as it was, and they've tweaked it in that sort of way to get the people like me who love JRPGs but never kind of got the Tales thing.
The thing I found was it was similar to Final Fantasy VII Remake.
I mean,
combat.
You've done.
Well, I knew that'd do it, but
no, but that's what I mean. That's what I mean.
Like, it does feel like that, and yes, they're like, it does feel like turn-based in a sense where you press like an art and a couple in a row or something, and it does kind of cue it up, but it does happen too fast to even twig on. So that's what you're doing because it's so fluid. The combat is, and it's just. It's a really fun way to play, and there's loads of arts that you can unlock, like, and switch them around. So by like, I don't know, 20 hours in, you're going to be like a machine. Like, there's a lot of room to grow, and the fact that is just two characters at the minute. There are another 5 or 6. I can't remember exactly. I think it's 6 more that end up in your.
There's
party.
Normally 8. There's normally a motley crew of 8 rocking about in the Tales game.
But what I love as well is like. People who are watching this podcast rather than listening, thank you for a start, for whatever way you consume this podcast. But what I particularly like is that we've, I don't know if it's if it's just me, actually, or if you guys feel this is something I've just not noticed, but all of a sudden I feel like we're getting into the stage now where the games like the Tales, and I would say a game like Scarlet Nexus as well, they would have always been good games, but they would only have looked decent. And I feel like all of a sudden these games are now looking so good. Now, Tales is always a game that looked pretty nice, but like this looks
like one of the best looking Tales games.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
When you were speaking and the footage is on there, I was like, oh, that looks tasty. I mean,
it's really nice. It's bad for those just listening, but for those watching, go and have a look. The timestamp will be there. Yeah. Like, the visual in terms of the you know, the lighting and the colour, but also the backdrops, the surrounding areas.
Because that part of it, when you used to battle, it was they were always the drab bits.
Yes, that's what I mean.
There was always particle effects going on with arts and stuff, but the backgrounds and things were always a bit drab. Whereas it looks stunning.
Also, just to add from a personal perspective, as much as I love and I do love Monster Hunter Stories 2 and games like that, it's kind of nice to see a boss with a health bar again. Like, do you know what I mean? To know, right, this is
yeah,
how much...
Yeah, I know, yeah. I'm good.
Totally not against it, and I love Monster Hunter Stories 2. It's one of my favourite games this year. But it's kind of like seeing that health bar again. It's kind of like...
You know you're doing something right.
I've kind of missed that. Because, yeah. I mean, in Monster Hunter Stories, it does do that, but you have to beat them... It's like the real Monster Hunter games. You have to beat them once to kind of know how hard they are. But, like, there's still a place for me... It's not immersion breaking for me to see a health bar. Like, do you know what I mean? Maybe games like that, I'd love it if you could do, like, you know, what was it? The move was Sense, or, you know, in Final Fantasies, they always did this, and, you know, where you could, like, analyze them.
They've done that in other Tales games where, like, you have to use an item to, like, see what their health is and stuff like that and learn what their weaknesses are, what they drop and stuff. So. I don't know whether that's in this game, but yeah.
There is plenty. Like, these are the first few hours of the game.
Definitely.
I can imagine it being
tutorial
quite hefty. So there's a lot more that I'm sure will be in it. And
it,
like,
looks good.
It looks
just
great.
Just for like an
intro. Fire looks amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. The fire, like, you get this weapon called the Blazing Sword as well, which adds another layer onto the gameplay. And it's just nuts what you can do with that sword on top of all your other stuff. So there's a lot going on, but in a controlled way. And I think that's what makes these kind of games. You can throw too much at someone and you don't really use it all. So the amount of games you've played where you can go through it, be told all these different things and still only use the basics. This all feels relevant and it all feels like it will be used as you you fight harder bosses and enemies and stuff.
In terms, Chris, in terms of, like, scope and scale of the environments, like, what are we talking here? Like, you know,
yeah, so
with it coming to PS5 and stuff, like that, are we able to go, I can see that over there, I'm on my way?
So
are we still kind of cut off?
Near, where,
okay, yeah,
you've got an area and you can go and explore, but then to go to the next one, you kind of load the new area, or like a small scale Witcher, that kind of thing. It's not like fully open world, but there's a lot to kind of see and there's a lot to kind of explore. It's not like linear as such, but from what I saw and the map area that I was in, I could go quite like all over the place and stuff.
Just in terms of, like, I don't know if you can actually say this really, but like, if you've done any side quests and stuff, did they feel kind of cliche padded? Were the fetch quests? What was going on? Are you able to mention any of that?
Yeah, I did a couple of side quests, but they were more to kind of get you certain skills or shops open for like your travels. Like, I had to go and find some parts for a sword and help open the blacksmith. But they're kind of just, I mean, it's hard to say what they will be like, but these were quite basic, but they were like the first few side quests of the game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing that makes this fun is the fighting. So if you have to go and slay some enemies to get the items, it's the combat that it's not like monotonous. So it doesn't, it's not, the quests don't necessarily feel arbitrary because you're having fun with the combat.
That's always important with a Tales game, because literally, like you said before, Adam, like with the circle and the battles, if you don't have the right, it could get samey very, very quickly. Mm. And that's why you need the, you know, to unlock new arts or level them up or whatever is going on in this one. But that's the most important thing. You need to be enjoying the combat 30 hours in as much as you enjoy it 1 hour in. Otherwise, these kind of games don't work.
Yeah.
So it sounds from what you've played, you're still enjoying it however many hours in, which is a really good sign.
I just want to play more. That's how I left. Like, I was gutted that it was over.
We have a question, you know. Chris. Sorry, you might be able to answer while we're on the subject. Phil Tindall in the chat says, it looks great. Does it look like it's going to be saddled with microtransactions or season passes? I would have guessed no.
I don't see how it would. Yeah. Season pass, maybe
expansion content, but I wouldn't have.
Maybe expansion and some costumes, but like
nothing announced.
I played, like, you don't need it.
Sometimes they do like costumes, like you say, like cosmetic outfits and things that you can unlock.
If it's like a season, it's not. I would say I'm pretty much sure there's no microtransactions, but there will probably be some season pass or expansion, much in the same way as like Ask Creed, where you've got your expansion game bits, but nothing. No, they don't need it. They don't need it. And I doubt very. It'd be stupid to do it.
Mm. Okay. Let's move on. What else have you been playing then?
So, speaking of Assassin's Creed, which I briefly mentioned there as Ask Creed.
You did mention Ask Creed.
I've been playing The Siege of Paris, which is the brand new expansion for it. Yes.
Would just like to say straight away, I can't believe that this is already out.
I know.
It does seem like 5 minutes ago you were talking about Wrath of the Druids and then Siege of Paris will be in a little while. Yeah.
I thought it was like November for some reason, and then a couple of weeks ago when I saw it was out in like August, it was mental.
But so, how is Paris, Chris?
Well, these are substantial as well, right? I didn't play Druids, still playing. Like, so it was this year, right? Druids, Mick reviewed Druids this year. It was a few months ago, wasn't it?
Months ago, it feels like.
Yeah. Wasn't that at all?
These stories, because they are essentially like Valhalla, it's all arcs, isn't it? Like, you go and pledge to a county, and then you play through the arc of that county, and you know, this, like Wrath of the Druids, feels like a good, well, it could be anything. The story itself is anything from 4 to 6 hours, I think. Mm-hmm. But then there's all your other stuff. Like, when you play Assassin's Creed, most people aren't like, they love the story, but there's also all the like wealth to find, like the new armor sets or the new abilities, which there are new abilities in this, new armor sets in this. Mm-hmm. And there are all the other little bits, like there are side quests, you name it. So France itself, I mean, every area in Valhalla has that kind of drab, kind of dreary, like, location, because that's what it was. It was like the 9th century, so it's not going to be all fancy. But Paris is, obviously, it's more expanded. It's like London is in Valhalla. Like, there's a lot more buildings, a lot more kind of people there interacting and that kind of thing. It's not quite as open as some of the, like, the lower cities are. But the thing that I love, I think it's one of the better stories in Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Like, you are heading to France because the king there is threatening to invade England, which threatens Eivor's kind of settlement of Raventhorpe. So she goes there, she tries to talk to the king, doesn't go particularly well, and then this whole kind of story unfolds about Charles, King Charles of France, and how he is quite unstable mentally, and that kind of affects what his decisions he makes and stuff. And it's just nuts. Like, the end, the big siege of Paris isn't at the end, it's kind of in the middle, and then you think that's it, and then it carries on telling this story, and it's excellent. Like, as stories go so far, this has been one of the best, like, for me. It kicks off kind of straight away, like with the Wrath of the Druids. It was kind of took you ages to even know who these druids were, whereas it's kind of like straight in action story, and it kind of continues to the end.
Okay. It's like, what's next then, like, for this Like, is that, are they, I don't think they've announced a third one, have they? Expansion.
No, but they've more announced coming.
A second year.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's still stuff to tell. Like, they, yeah. There's stuff in Italy. There's like a famous story where, like Ragnar, his son, Bjorn, he goes into Italy and he thinks it's Rome because he wants to invade Rome, but it's not. It's like somewhere else off the coast, and he hides. He pretends to be dead, hides in a coffin, and then jumps out during his burial. Funeral, and
sounds kind of hilarious.
Attacks the king. Yeah. So there's Italy. There's also like the Middle East. Vikings try to make deals with some of the lords and that in the the sheikhs or whatever in the Middle East, Africa. So there's different places for them to go. So they've got quite a wealth of content for them to make. But I would say Italy would be interesting with the ties to the Assassin's Creed series.
Well, they just actually added Ezio's outfit to the game, didn't they?
Right.
But you've got to have played. It's one of those. I still want to say Uplay, but Ubisoft Connect. It's one of the Ubisoft Connect bonuses where you log into it, but you need to have played the previous two games. So I guess Origins and Odyssey. And then you can get Ezio's kit. Like, yeah. Do you know, I think, honestly, it's probably one of the most frustrating games for me in the past 5 years, because every single time I play it, I'm like, oh, this is so fucking good, but it's so big. And I've tried. Like, there was a little bit of a lull a few months back before Druids, actually, about a month, maybe 2 weeks before Druids came out, and I remember getting stuck into it and getting a good 10 hours in it, and then life finds a way, doesn't it? And it's just such a damn good game. And I tell you what, I know you said it at the time, Chris White, the PS, and Adam, you did too, the PS5 version is...
I'm still like chipping away at it.
Yeah.
I've not got too many more.
Well, the DLC keeps coming along and stopping you from finishing it. Like, you have to keep going off and playing the other games.
But I've managed to finish them too. Now I'm back in England. There's like America opens up at some point.
Wow.
When you power level 160, you can go to Vinland, which is North America, which I still haven't managed to do, like, get there. So I've still got that, and then I've got to finish off what's going on in England. But like, I love it. I still want to play, I still keep playing because it, and like PS5, oh my god, like, that version is perfect.
Yeah, it's cracking. Right, should we move over to Mr. Hyde?
Why not? I didn't have anything let's not bother.
I thought
you were opening up to the floor to go, oh, well, nah. He's
okay, let's take a vote. Chris White, shall we allow Chris Hyde to talk?
Yes.
Okay. Chris, Adam Carroll, do you feel it's okay for Chris to talk now? Chris Hyde, that is?
I think today, yes.
You think today, okay.
Just today.
Well, okay. I mean, it doesn't really matter what I think, because I'd be outvoted anyway, even if I voted no. So we'll never know for sure, Chris Hyde. What have you been playing?
Well, I'm hoping you're going to chip in at some point.
I suspect I might.
Yeah, me and Mr. Cook have been playing the Back for Blood blah, 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 blah. Maybe you should talk. The Back for Blood beta. I didn't realize that was that hard to say.
It's not. Just so you know. No. Just hang on before we carry on. Adam, would you mind saying it just to prove that Back for Blood? Oh, shit.
Shit! Yes!
Back for Blood beta.
Back for Blood beta. It is a bit of a mouthful.
Back for Blood beta.
Back for Blood beta.
Back for Blood beta. Chris White's gone very quiet.
Back for Blood beta.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
I'm so happy that you're
back. See ya.
I want to. I just wish that was a bit, but it was. It wasn't. Go on. Back for Blood beta. It's fine now.
Yeah, we've been playing that for a bit. So for those that don't know, basically this is a kind of co-op campaign
call it what it is.
Left for Dead 3.
Right.
You can say that's easier to say than Back
we can
Blood
say
beta.
That yeah. I mean, they probably can too, since they made them.
Yeah, but essentially that's what it is. It's a co-op campaign up to four players. You play with bots if you haven't got up to four players, or you can join up with randoms online who can do a co-op like me and Adam have been doing. And you basically go through missions in the beta. I want to say acts 1 and 4, I think were the ones that they were saying in the from memory were in the beta. So we were playing through those. Each act's made up of four parts. And you basically just progress through the levels, get to the safe house, and then you go on to the next one. We've been having some great fun with this.
Oh, it's cool.
It's really good fun. Yeah, cool. The shooting and the guns feel really good. Yeah. There's lots of different. I mean, it's the normal sort of like, you know, pistol, snipers, shotguns, rifles,
melee,
but they feel very good, and different guns within the same type can feel different as well. And you're constantly picking up mods and improvements
for them. That reminds me of Apex Legends.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much you play with that, but you know, in Apex you get a drop and there's like all the mods, and you're almost looking at it and go, oh no, that one's better, that one, oh, you know, and there's like different parts of each gun that are moddable, you know, your clip, the muzzle, yeah. You know, I am very smitten with this game.
Yeah, and then the way it works is you obviously go through these levels, killing all these various shapes and sizes of undead, ridden, as they're called. They're not zombies; they are ridden. And you go play with your guns, but you also have a deck of cards. Okay.
Yes.
That you have some cards to start the game with, and basically it's your deck, and you will get dealt one card from your deck as like a starting card that you'll always have with you. And then at the beginning of each new act or each part of the act, so 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, you'll get the opportunity to choose, I think, from five from your, so your deck, you get five random cards from your deck to choose from, and you can pick one that you can add
and
as
they
an
stack
extra.
They stack if you see them twice.
Yeah, you can... so you can choose, right? So you can choose. Again, you control your deck from the start, so you could choose which cards go in it, but it's random which of those you get to choose from, if that makes sense.
It's Hearthstone in terms of
It's Hearthstone, cards, it's Magic the Gathering, whatever you want to call it. It's deck building element to it, but it's only outside of the action, I guess. It's, you know, you're deciding it beforehand. Mm-hmm. And then what you earn is you earn points as you play each round, and when you go back to the main hub, you can spend these points to unlock more cards. So you can, you know, mix and match your deck, tweak your deck up so that you can have the buffs you want and get rid of the ones you don't want. And it means you can create loads of different builds. So you could put a load of cards together that give real good bonuses for melee options or ones that focus more on gunplay. So there's lots of cards that I've barely scratched the surface of unlocking any of the cards, but there's lots of cards going on. You two are both laughing, both Adams, and I don't know why.
So oh, why never mind.
It's not for now.
Okay, great.
Not for now.
He's clearly spotted the same thing I've spotted in the chat, and let's stay no more than that. Back for Blood, on the other hand, is terrific. Like, it is... I knew I'd like it, because I like first-person shooters. I didn't know I would be having to... I deleted the beta, because I was like, if I... don't I'm and I, by the way, I've reinstalled the beta now, it's an open beta, but I deleted it because I was like, I will play too much of this, and there's only so many levels, if you know what I mean. I have seen a few videos knocking around that people have pointed out some of the, I don't know, bugs or deficiencies perhaps of the game. What I would point out, it's
God
a beta
for them.
Yeah, but like, man, the thing is, there's an amount of bugs or weirdness perhaps that you'll put up with if the game is that much fun, that you are just having that much fun with it. And like, this is one of those where you blink and 2 hours are gone. And the card system, I don't know if any of you last played Hearthstone here. I mean, like,
yep.
So you know what I mean, like, when I say, like, I know Magic the Gathering as well, but I mean, I think more people will probably know Hearthstone these days. But like, the idea that you can build a custom deck, and of course you've got the characters, like I was playing as Mom, and then I played as, I forget the name of the guy, but I played as the guy with glasses. And they've all got their own perks and like starting weapons. Like, some of them will start with a handgun, some of them will start with nothing, and they've all got perks on top of that.
And team perks as well, which stack with everybody in your group. So it's really tactical.
And honestly, like, from a perspective of, like, I've followed this studio since Left 4 Dead. Like, they broke away from Valve, and they made Evolve, which was a good game, but did very poorly because of the way the monetization and generally marketing was handled very poorly. They're with a different publisher now. And that, you know, they've even called the game Left 4. Sorry, Back 4. Blood.
Smooth. So, why haven't they got... Wait.
Well, because I guess there must be... I mean, I actually don't know. I actually don't know. I would, because they even they put on their website and stuff that they're the makers of Left 4 Dead. It's not like it's a secret, but I would imagine that Valve owned it.
I imagine it's a rights thing,
or
right?
Or there's some rights thing where they can't just make.
Yeah.
But I am.
How much? Like how much? Truly, are you seeing like different from like the Left 4 Dead?
The card system like, changes it massively. Mm, the card system really does change things up. You can even find like locations in the game where there's cards that you can use your currency that you're collecting as you go along to buy a card. And we both did it when we were playing the beta. And it was a card that basically meant that you would not be slowed down when strafing or going backwards, but you couldn't sprint anymore. And neither of us noticed that it said you couldn't sprint anymore. We just saw
a new card.
And both of us moaned for the rest of that run about how we couldn't sprint. And it's like, so, you know, one of the things I would give them in terms of beta feedback is that I would say in between levels, like there's four levels per mission, or if you just carry on playing, I would say one of the things I would feedback is that I think there maybe needs to be an option where you can either use your currency or trash a card. You know, if you, because otherwise how are you going to try the cards out? Like you want to try out a new card, you want to see if it works for your play style. But if 20 minutes in, you're like, I hate this, which is how I felt with simple, you know, shift key, not being able to sprint or click the stick or whatever you do on a joystick. The simplicity of not being able to sprint anymore, I hated it. Yet someone will build a deck with that build in it and it'll be brilliant for them. And it's again that kind of Hearthstone-y thing of, I'll never be able to use that card. I don't get it. I can't play that way. And they can. I'd implement the system where you can either... I mean, at the end of the day, if you're not playing versus and you're playing with your mates or bots, you should just be able to play it how you want to. And so maybe just let you trash a card or swap. Or maybe you have... Maybe there's a penalty for it. Maybe you have to pay using your bronze. Or maybe you have to... You can trash it, but that's instead of getting a new card this year. This round. The question in the chat is, when is the open beta out? It's right now, actually. It's the 12th as we record this live. The 12th, I think... I want to say till the 16th, I think till Monday. So by the time this goes wide for everyone to watch whenever they feel like it, the beta will be ending. And ultimately, it's a free beta. You can download it and have a try. And if you don't like it, you've lost nothing but time, which is admittedly the most valuable commodity, perhaps. But I am... I think today it's gone gold as we're recording. And it's like, it's definitely coming out in October.
Yeah, it did.
Like,
it's
definitely
today,
coming out. Yeah. I cannot wait. And between this and Aliens Fireteam Elite, I'm always going to get that wrong, I am so excited for the kind of four player whatever co-op nature games, because I love shooters, but I've aged being able to be any good at competitive ones, but co-op stuff I can still enjoy. And I am so happy that we've basically got 2.5 months ish where we're going to get two hopefully really good co-op shooters. What else have you been playing, Chris? What else is on your thingy?
So I have followed your advice from last week when you showed us Grime, and have been playing that on PC this week. Put 3 or 4 hours into it, I think, and I really like it. So I just want to spend a bit of time talking about it, because I know we talked about it a chunk last week. But so went around last week, 2D platformer, and the kind of key mechanic with Grime is it encourages you to parry as well as attack enemies. And it's basically a trade-off each time you're come across an enemy, because you can just hack at them with a weapon and that's absolutely fine, that'll kill them. But if you parry, what you end up doing is you end up absorbing, absorbing their health.
It's called breath.
Yeah, it's breath. You are right, sorry. And then if you absorb enough of a certain type of enemy, then you unlock the ability to acquire a particular trait, a skill, that you can use at their version of Dark Souls bonfires. You know, you can choose to level them up. So it means you can kind of tweak loadouts depending, you know, the more of those enemies that you absorb and you unlock, you've got more options to then, you know, build your character in a certain way and give them certain benefits Whereas if you just hack and slash everything, that's absolutely fine, but it gives you less options. And then the other way you kind of customize it is through the leveling up system. So again, I hate to keep going back to Dark Souls, but a bit like Dark Souls, you have the normal sort of health and stamina bars, which you can level up, which are really useful. I'll talk about stamina in a minute. But also you've got strength, dexterity, and resonance, which are a bit like strength, dexterity, and kind of intelligence, faith in Dark Souls, where you level those up and weapons that are more aligned to those traits get more powerful, and you have to have certain stats to wield certain weapons. So so there's that sort of leveling up mechanic again, like their version of bonfires. But it's what I noticed when I played this game, I don't know how you found it, but I found this very stamina intensive game. Personally, because literally you're using stamina for dodging and to swing weapons, like in Dark Souls, I suppose. But I found I was constantly running out, and then I just wanted to dash out of the way of something, and you just could run out of weapons. So I felt like it's very, unless I'm just playing it wrong, but found management of stamina feels very much like the aim of the game as you progress further and further into it. So I find myself leveling that up quite a lot, which is fine, because it makes you consider more about, okay, how am I going to approach this group of enemies? If there's three things running at me and a archer from above, how am I going to deal with them all coming at me at one time? But it's really engaging. I mean, you were teeing it up like, you can do this and you can do this, and all those things are true. And what I found is, like, it is one of those games I'm like, crap, I've been playing this for 2.5 hours, yeah, and I've not I don't care, and I'm dying, trust me, I'm dying, I'm making silly mistakes, I'm losing to bosses until you finally figure out that you just need to be patient and figure out their attacks, and then it's all good. But it is very much one of those games where you're like, you get engrossed into what you're doing, into exploring, just getting a little bit further, just to explore around the next corner. It reminded me a little bit of Ori, in the sense of how you use the map and it's very interconnected. But the way it does it is, you don't unlock a part of the map, and again, a bit like something like a 2D Metroid or something, you don't unlock the map until you find the map room, until you find this beacon. Mm-hmm. You don't unlock the map, but you don't unlock any part of the map in an area until you find that beacon. So it's literally all blacked out on the map until you find the beacon, and all the beacon unlocks is where you've been. So it's not like in other games where, oh, if you go in a room, you can see what that room is and how it connects to everything else. You're literally in the dark on the map screen until you find that beacon. And that's really interesting, because you're like, oh my God, am I going the wrong way? And sometimes you could go in with a dead end and have to get back, and then you finally unlock the beacon and go, ah, that's how that all connected together. But it's really, I'm really enjoying it. I literally want to go and play it again, like, after this. Like, it's really clicked with me. I remember messaging you, Adam, about that there is backtracking, but not as much as I thought. You know, I was wishing for fast travel. I have unlocked fast travel now, so that problem does go away. But it does. There is backtracking in this game, and I know they're working on more shortcuts and more kind of fast travel options as they develop the game, and that will only improve it, because I think some people may just get put off as the map grows, and it grows because it will grow as you unlock more areas. Just being able to get around it a little bit quicker, I think, would improve.
They did say they're working on that. I mean, they didn't say. I don't know if that's actually public knowledge. They didn't tell me not to tell anyone, so I mean, it's out there now.
But yeah, I mean, but it's a great game. I've really enjoyed my time with it, and I'd encourage anybody that was either remotely interested last week when we were talking about it, or, you know, Adam Carroll, you need to play this game.
PC and Stadia.
Yeah, so PC. And it's really good, really well done. Combat feels really, really tight and responsive, and as does the movement. And I'm unlocking new mechanics as I go, so I don't even know where this is going to go in terms of, like, all the other things that I will. There's things I think I'm going to unlock, because you come up against puzzles, you're like, I'm gonna have to come back to you, because I know that's a thing, but I don't know how to get around it. And then, so I'm sure there'll be more of that. A bit it is very Metroidvania.
Oh, it is.
It is very much sort of Metroidvania, with a bit of a bit of Dark Souls type mechanics in there in terms of leveling up and then the parry thing. But yeah, different enough to really grab you, but feels familiar when you, because in terms of the genre that you're working in. But yeah, I really enjoyed my time with it. And Adam Carroll, I think you'd love it.
Shall we do some listener correspondence? What do you think, Jack?
Let's get on to it.
Yeah. Ad, let's start with you. I think you've played one of these games. I've played both. I think everyone's played both by you. Matt King from Discord says, I'm going to finally purchase a game. Congratulations on your first game purchase, Matt. Disco Elysium or Death's Door? Which would you recommend most? Obviously, they're both completely different.
Christ. Well, like, Death's Door's hype is just massive now, isn't it? It's just like everyone loves it. Disco Elysium, I have played, and that's just incredible. It's incredible, but I don't know. Like, I think Disco Elysium is actually probably a harder sell.
It's a hard recommendation to make because
it's obviously it's a slow burner, and whether you're into what it's doing in terms of its writing and stuff like that, and its overall atmosphere, it's not for everyone. Mm. But like. You know, I said to pay that store, and that's just that. And the more I hear about that, it just feels like anyone that finishes that game comes out of it going, yeah, that was just, it's like when they finish it, they just go, that was just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Like, people are just like losing their minds with it. So, I don't know. I don't know, Chris White, have you played that store?
He reviewed it, mate.
Oh, you did. There you go. No, so like, okay, so the three of you have played it.
For me, the answer is Death's Door. And that is, like you say, Death Disco Elysium is terrific, but I finished Death's Door a few days ago. And I'm not like, I know Chris Hyde's now 100% of it, and a lot of people were going to do the same. I don't have that inclination. I don't think I want to go and like do that, but I really enjoyed my time with it. It was I really like the difficulty of that game. Like, it was just, it's balanced tremendously well for me. That's, I think, the biggest thing of it for me. I think it's just when you do get stuck and you die to a boss a few times, you know, like that. All I'll say is the word Betty, okay? which, not your dog, Chris. But like, I was literally sat here playing it with a controller, and I was like, I am not fucking leaving this room until that boss goes down. Like, there was nothing stopping me from... it wasn't even that hard. That's the thing. Once you get the patterns down, it's not a hard game. And the game bosses are kind of teaching you for the end boss as well, without spoiling it. They're kind of... Yeah. They're coaching you. Yeah, they are. I was not leaving this room without that win.
If I was to just say one more thing, though, if I didn't play Disco, and if I was just looking at both of those games, I would still be going for Disco.
Oh, I would. Personally. So I'd still be Death's Door.
I mean, for me, I mean, they're very different games.
Yeah.
I guess
he does say that.
I guess, yeah, I think, like, you know, if you've got the time on your hands, because Disco and Death's Door are going to take you a very different amount of times to really finish. If you've got the time, you get more from your money by playing Disco, but you very much know what you're getting with Death's Door. Death's Door isn't unique in what it's doing. It just does what it does incredibly well, very, very well. But there's not a lot new, whereas Disco Elysium is more of a unique experience, I would say. But to your point, Adam Carroll, you kind of have to know that that's what you're getting into. It's a bit dark in places. It's text heavy, but the writing is excellent, and the way it goes about it is great.
Buy both of them. They're both great games.
Well, hang on. So are we all voting for Death's Door? What's Chris White have to say about this?
I would choose Disco Elysium,
okay.
But only because I just think it's a great time sink. It's constantly impressing with its direction in terms of the dialogue and how that path opens up. The story is phenomenal. The writing is excellent. The art direction, like, it's just sublime. Like,
it's the Tits McGee.
It really is. Death Door, like, it depends what you want. Like, if you want, like, to play a game, like, play a game that has gameplay as such, Death Door is perfect because it is fucking banging.
That is cracking,
But Disco Elysium, I love because of the story and how layered it is in telling that tale throughout the various dialogue options. It's a bit heavy though. So if I'm not saying like Death's Door's about death, but it's a bit different.
It's quite lighthearted with it though, isn't it? Yeah. To be honest with you.
But, yeah. So we're going two for two, I'd say, are we?
Yeah.
I think Adam Cowell's right. Buying both. Yeah. Disco Elysium, if you've got a PC, that's constantly on sale in the Epic Games Store. So keep an eye out.
Okay. Politica in Discord says, pick the single game you are most excited about that is due to release before the end of 2021. Now I'm going to go last because I've got two and I'm really struggling to pick one.
Do you know what? I'm going to look at our.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
I'm sure we did. Didn't we do this last week? A very similar question.
Doesn't matter. Promote it. Go to godisgeek.com.
Yes, absolutely. Definitely do. The ones that jump at me from memory when we did this last time, Kenna, Dying Light 2. I'm sure there's a massive one I've forgotten. The Tales of Arise now.
Don't tell him. I'll have his game because he's not going to mention it. I can't believe you've not mentioned this game.
Oh, damn. What have I not said?
OLED Day? It's the same day as Nintendo Switch's OLED.
Metroid Dread!
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I want that as well.
Jesus.
For me, it's that or Forza Horizon 5. But I really want to see Halo Infinite. And like Back for Blood. I mean, I've played it.
You don't need to.
I wonder if Halo is still relevant in 2021.
I don't know, mate. Yeah. Is there a way we could find out?
I mean, I've never played the Halos. I should probably get on that.
I should probably add that into our trade of Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Well, there might be one for me to pick.
Keep your eye on the site. In the coming weeks. Anyway, video game releases.
It might be a bit longer than that. It's a lot of editing. I haven't started yet. I haven't actually started yet. It's a 3-hour video and I haven't even started it yet. And that's just part one. So
I am really excited for Battlefield.
I nearly said Battlefield. Really again, I'm really interested to see what that becomes.
And boringly, FIFA 22.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it.
Do you know what? I'm more excited about that the more I hear about it, because there's loads of stuff they're doing, they're adding to it this year, and I really want to see if they land.
Let's see it.
I'm a big football fan, so I can't wait.
So normally, like with FIFA, like I play a lot of pro clubs, but that's where there's a lot of updates coming in pro clubs this year. So I'm let's see if they land. So yeah, it'd be interesting.
And I would have said Horizon.
Well, that's still technically not been delayed yet. Although by the time
that whole thing is nonsense.
It's not coming out this year, is it?
Yeah, no.
PlayStation Germany did a blog. I don't know if you guys saw this, where they accidentally just said to everyone, "Yeah, the PS5 version of GTA is going to be 4K and 60 frames per second," which kind of course it is. It's three generations of game ago. You know, it came out on 360 and PS3. But this was on a list on PlayStation Germany's blog that was like, these are the 9 games that they're coming out this year that you must play. And Kenna has now been delayed to whatever. Horizon wasn't even on the blog. So it's like, if they're not listing their own first part, whatever. Director's Cut Punk says, it's 30 years in the future and you find yourself on Antiques Roadshow. What bit of recently modern kit do you think will become the next sealed copy of Super Mario Brothers and sell for millions?
Millions.
I don't think it has
Stadia.
To be. Yeah, a working Stadia. I don't know. It's probably going to be an amiibo, isn't it? It's
going to be one of those amiibo. Yeah.
I reckon the sealed Skyloft amiibo thing, Skybird thing. Wingull.
Really?
Wingull. Yeah, they were expensive, so people didn't buy them. There's not that many of them.
Do you know what's actually a disgrace? Do you remember when the Wii U released the Wind Waker console?
Yeah.
Right? Launch. So the box that console came in, I bought that console. I sold that box for 60 quid.
Just the box?
Just cardboard. 60 quid. People would buy anything. It's fucking hilarious.
Anyone else got anything that they think that will end up a collector's?
Just looking around the rooms, if I find anything. No, I don't know. I don't really collect stuff.
No, I'm the one with the problem, admittedly.
A lot of games, like physical, are games you wouldn't have thought of, are crazy prices now.
Like, it tends to be games that come out right at the end of a console's life that tend to be the rarest, don't they? Because they have the shortest production runs. So it tends to be one those ones that come out right as you're about to go to a new console. Not as much anymore, but historically, the ones that seem to be rarest, I'm talking like I know what I'm talking about, but generally they're the rarest ones.
The games that you want to pick up now, if you can get them, are DS games. DS games are going for serious bucks. Like, a lot of the Castlevania stuff is mental. Like Chrono Trigger DS. Like, you can get it for, like, I don't know, 100 and something quid or whatever, like 150 quid. But that's 150 quid. Like, there's copies of it for 300. Things like that are just, like, crazy. Like, but DS at the moment, I've noticed, because I've been trying to build up a collection, and Christ, it's hard. It's hard. But, yeah.
Okay. Mick from Discord says, what's your favourite Apple Arcade game? Has anyone got an answer for this that isn't me?
Yeah. Okay. By default, as I've got two of them. So I can talk about both of them and go, probably that one. So I think I've only got two, I think, because I just don't have enough time to get more. But two, I've got a Spider and Spire Blast, which is one you recommended me, Adam. So very, very, very different. But I don't play either of them now. They're both fun in the moment, but I don't tend to go back to them. But I guess if I picked, it would be Spire Blast, which is just basically one of those... It's almost like Candy Crush type things. You've got loads of levels and you just keep going around and match colours and stuff. But I don't really have a lot of time on top of consoles and PC to play a lot of Apple Arcade. That's the problem.
Grindstone for me. Grindstone's fantastic. It's on PC and Switch now as well. I think Lyle reviewed the Switch version. Grindstone on Apple Arcade is worth having Apple Arcade for. It's that good. Mick also asks, what would a Switch port need to do to make you buy a game on Switch if it costs 40 quid and is available in Game Pass?
Never happen.
I feel like it's trolling, this.
He's trolling.
I don't know. If the portability and like a unique Nintendo character, I'd probably be convinced. When Soul Calibur had Link, if that was on the Switch, I'd probably go, I'd get that version. Not the one with Spawn in it or something. I'd probably do that because I'm weird.
I don't know if there's an answer to this question that would please anyone. He also asks, what's your favourite recent DualSense implementation?
The only ones I can think of are Ratchet and Astro, but I can't think of any others that are jumping
Returnal.
Out.
Returnal?
Returnal was... I remember Mick saying, Mick Fraser saying during the review actually had to turn it off for a bit because it's so intense, the haptics and stuff, that he couldn't he actually played with it off, whereas I was like, this actually adds so much, I have to keep it on.
Yeah, I'd say Returnal.
I think Ratchet and Clank for me, because there's that video I did that with the music. It's kind of next level of in terms of like someone who absolutely does understands the console they're making a game for and knows how to do stuff that, like, if that wasn't in there is no chance that someone who scored it a 9 would score it an 8. Do you know what I mean? It is so... Mm-hmm. So we've got to that point in games now where the most minuscule things don't affect your overall enjoyment because they mount up to one larger thing. And that's an example of it for me, is that if it was never there, you'd never notice it. And yet it is there and it is noticeable, but not to everyone. Like, I wonder if everyone would have noticed it had people like me not done videos about it. Like, but I only noticed it, in fact, because I actually had the controller and I was capturing and I put it down on the desk there and it was going... Brr, brr, brr. And I was like, what the hell's that? And then I picked it up and I put the headphones on to hear the music and it was going... it's so incidental to me, but that is also such an incredibly impressive thing from a programming point of view, I feel. Like, I'm sure... Maybe it's easy. I don't know. I mean, if it was easy, why wouldn't they all do it? But I was just... Yeah, like, so impressed with that. So impressed. Anyone else?
Nothing has topped Astrobot still for me.
Mm. Yeah, I think the thing you were saying around, like, doesn't add to the overall experience, I think in Astrobot it does. But because it's more concise game, it naturally does. It's literally a showcase for that type of thing. So it did feel part of the experience than, say, Ratchet. But I still thought Ratchet was really good.
Yeah. And some people can definitely say, oh, yeah, but, like, of course you'd say Astrobot because, like, it was the first time you really are taking in the DualSense. But, like, honestly, like, everything is kicking off on that controller when you're playing Astrobot, and nothing has mattered. Like, Returnal is really good, Ratchet is really good and stuff like that, you know. But I think the next one for me personally that I think is going to be like, holy shit, is Horizon or God of War. Something like that are the next like real...
It's difficult to imagine Horizon doing as much as Returnal or Ratchet because it's kind of more grounded in terms of it being humans, if that makes sense.
But like, yeah, but I think it's more so adding to the tension of the game, I suppose, or the type of game, do you know what I mean? Like with stealth and things like that, I don't know.
The tension of the bow.
Yeah, like, but I mean, that has been done in Hood, like Assassin's, hasn't it? Yeah, Hood, yeah.
Hood did that really well. It's one of the things it did well.
Yeah, that was a good game, just
but came away. Yeah, that was impressive. Yeah.
Sadly. And that is almost a podcast for this week, other than to say thank you for your support. And please visit patreon.com/godisageek. We alluded to a couple of features, and there's a couple of features in the pipeline, that, like the kind of things we need to get done before we start promoting them. We don't want them to be like, oh, here's episode one, and then episode two is 3 years later. Like, so there's a couple of things we're working on. Quite a few things actually that are going to be early or exclusive to Patreon members. We think it's worth it. That's patreon.com/godisageek. Like this video if you want, share it with people on Twitter, which is @godisageek with Twitter. Tell us, share us, copy us in, say, hey, I listened to @godisageek's podcast this week and it was great, and you know that host's really attractive, and like definitely do that. And subscribe if you haven't, hit the bell button. The bell button helps visibility, that it makes it sort of pop up in other people's, you know, like, oh, you might like this sort of thing, so that helps. But ultimately patreon.com/godisageek really helps us out, even for $1 or $1 a month, and honestly just watching us helps as well, so we appreciate that. Chris and Adam, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And to everybody else, we will speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye for now.